are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
So I was looking at film news and I saw, oh, David Ayer's back with a project. That's fine. And then I saw Shia LaBeouf is back with a project. Well, that's fine. And we're going to talk about that project today. It's called Tax Collector. Tax Collector is about a crime lord who collects taxes. That's what they refer to it as. So they sound more like a business. But sometimes that tax is your ass. With me today talking about this crime drama, we got Adrian.
Hey, fool.
And you don't just put pineapple on pizza. You got to put it on the real sometimes. We have the real pineapples, Hunter.
Oh, that was beautiful. What up, Holmes?
And hey, if the movie can do it, we can do it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll, yeah.
Did the movie do it? We'll discuss. And that there we have Luane with us as well.
Who, despite his name, is a Midwestern white guy and should probably not say a whole hell of a lot.
So I very briefly summed up this film. Certainly there's a lot more to it, as tends to be the case with a David Ayer script. Hunter, why don't you dive into this for us?
God, I... Okay, so The Tax Collector is a very bad name for this title for this film. It should have been called Stereotypes the Movie. I thought Tyler Perry wrote this because, my God in heaven, this movie blows. I don't care what any of you say. This movie sucks. Wow. I think this movie is so goddamn bad. I was so frustrated watching this. The only good thing about this movie is that it wasn't 2 hours. Because if it was 2 hours, I would have really struggled to get through it. I struggled to get through it enough. So, first off, David Ayer, he has a decent, and I think that's the key word, a decent filmography. There are several things of his that I've actually enjoyed. I am a huge fan of End of Watch, which is a far superior film to this one.
Yes.
Harsh
Times. The Harsh Times is all right.
Harsh Times has an amazing performance in it.
Does it surprise you that that's like my favorite movie of his?
Shocker. So that's okay. I fully admit I ironically like Sabotage. It is not a good movie, but and of course Training Day is the big one everyone goes to, which for me is one of my favorite. Is probably one of my favorite crime dramas ever. I absolutely love Training Day. So people will obviously point to those and go, well, come on, he's done all this stuff. But again, recently he did Sabotage, which was not good. He did Fury, which I think is a good movie, not a great one, but a good movie.
Why aren't you talking about Suicide Squad?
Oh, I was getting there, because Suicide Squad is the one where I went, okay, David Ayer. And God help us if we get that air cut, which I think it's coming. But bottom line, this guy has been kind of slacking for the last 6-ish years. And this might be the worst thing he's done, honest to God. Ooh, because first off, Shia LaBeouf, this is Lone Ranger all over again when he's like, well, Johnny Depp's playing Tonto. Like, why is he playing Tonto? But, well, he's 1/32nd Cherokee, okay? So the fuck what? And so Shia LaBeouf being in this, and he's doing the voice too. He's like, let me tell you something, Holmes. This is how, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, dude.
They call me Creeper, Holmes.
Yeah, like, well, and So I was having Ant-Man flashbacks for this one reason. So, you know, there's that one like 10 second shot in Ant-Man where Paul Rudd takes his shirt off and you're like, wow, he really got cut for that 10 seconds. Shia LaBeouf legit got the tattoo that his character Creeper has on him. And he's...
I don't know if that's 100% true yet. That's still just a rumor.
Okay.
Really? Okay.
Really? Okay. But assuming the rumor's true, you really only see him with his shirt off once in this movie. And it's for about a minute.
And it's not even at an angle that you could see the tattoo.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's nothing you can appreciate about the artist's work. So
yeah. And the thing is, I don't need to have like likable characters in every film I watch, but I need to know who these characters are. And you don't learn shit about anyone in this film. Just to show how incredibly vapid David Ayer is, he names the main character David, because why the fuck wouldn't he? He has his
I had to go back and look at that. I'm like, wait, did he just
well David, because he's up against surmountable odds and he always praises the Lord.
Okay. I'm happy you brought that up. So insurmountable odds that he created because of his lifestyle. And there's a point in this film where you find out he has some money in the bank, and I just was sitting there thinking, why didn't you leave this forever ago?
Because yes,
and that right there is what blows this whole movie apart to fucking smithereens, because all the dumb shit that happens to David really could have been avoided if he wasn't just greedy. Bottom line,
very possible. Adrian, let's hear your thoughts on the rest of this cast and some Shia LaBeouf.
Well, let me kind of jump off of what Hunter was saying, because we didn't actually explain the plot to this movie.
Not very well. Mine was very brief.
And here's the thing. It shouldn't have been called The Tax Collector. It should have been called The Dumbest Fucking Gangster in L.A. Because it's about a guy named David who basically, him and his family collects money from every Latino gang in Los Angeles. Or at least in the area of Los Angeles that they're in. So that's why he's called the tax collector. So whatever crime happens, whatever money comes from it, they get a cut. Him and Shia LaBeouf, for his extended crime family, including his uncle, played by George Lopez, and his father, who's in prison right now. So it's a very kind of setup. They have that Goodfellas type setup where the main character David is explaining everything that's going down, who does what. And for a while, it's kind of just following them doing pickups. The movie takes a little bit of a turn when competition comes in. A gangster who's actually from Mexico comes in to try to take over LA with the cartel backing him. And at some point, they do something to cross that gangster. And after that point, it's just a movie about trying to get out of the situation and trying to survive. It's the basic gangster movie setup that you've seen a million times. I was really looking forward to this movie, and I thought, for me personally, I am a David Ayer fan. At least I was. I was expecting at best for this to be another movie kind of like Harsh Times, and at worst, maybe it'll be fun and kind of bad like Street Kings. This was just garbage. This is definitely David Ayer's worst film.
Oof, Luwain.
Is it clearly L.A.? I only ask because the plates on the vehicles were Florida, which is why I was slightly confused there. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Can we get a fact check on that?
I just assume it's L.A. because every David Ayer movie is.
Yeah.
Well, I thought.
Yeah, it is L.A. Because I'm looking at IMDb. Yeah.
Okay.
Old boss rival shows up to upend business. That boss, by the way, I just want to give some credit. Jose Conejo Martin. No relation. Playing Conejo. And what did you guys think of him and his scenery chewing?
Let me take this over.
Go.
That guy. Okay. He's the only good thing about this. Well, him and Shia LaBeouf. He plays a great villain because he is scary as shit.
Yeah,
you guys know why he's scary as shit?
What?
Look him up on IMDb. He spent 15 years on the run as a fugitive for crimes that he committed. And is his first thing that he's doing out of prison.
Oh wow.
He went from jail to being in this movie, kind of like Danny Trejo in a way.
Hollywood's the land of second chances, everybody.
And he even has a podcast about his life that's like super interesting. Way more interesting than this movie ever is.
Okay, see, you've already given me more in that than this movie did.
I'm glad I saw this now. Gangster who does Sublime Song Santeria. this is just a gangster who does Santeria, and like that's been done before in other David Ayer movies. It's not interesting.
Okay, so I have to jump in here. So this really is a Tyler Perry. This is a Mexican Tyler Perry movie. That's exactly what this is, because they have the villain is into like witchcraft essentially, and like does a sacrifice. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, does he run a taco truck too? That's the only thing you fucking miss in this movie.
I believe he was doing something in relation to the Bruja, but that's just my own personal hobby of reading on cultures.
I don't know how accurate it was.
But
why have that in here? That's offensive. Like, honestly, there's no reason to have that in here. The fact that he does a sacrifice, but then there's this like Dexter scene because they have like tarp up to kill this person.
The Bruja is supposed to help people.
No, seriously felt like David Ayer watched Telemundo like unironically for 20 minutes. Like, I'm gonna take every stereotype from one of these shows and put it in this shit. And
I'm sorry. Go on.
It's mind-boggling, because I was about 30 minutes into this. I'm like, okay, this isn't great. And it's frustrating, because if Shia just wasn't, like, if Shia played a white dude in this, like, I actually think that actually would have worked better, because it goes back to that, you know, the Chappelle bit of, you know, like, how's that white guy, you know, impress those minorities? Like, that actually would have been a potentially intriguing thing. But they have Shia playing this stereotype.
Creeper.
It's irritating, because Shia does have these moments where I went, okay, you're pretty good in these little pockets, but the problem is you are playing a stereotype right down to the voice, and it's like, okay, man, like, I can't really.
He was given a stereotype to play, I think, is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to interject, and then I'll give the floor over to LaWayne.
Yes.
But, okay, as the one Mexican on this review, to my knowledge at least, I don't know what Bradley maybe is too, but as the one Mexican on this review, I don't speak for all Mexicans, but I'll say I thought Shia LaBeouf played a better Mexican than the main character of the movie.
That's
Shia LaBeouf,
Soto,
I thought, did a really great job. And our main character, played by Bobby Soto, my guy, no ill will. I'm sure you will do better in the future, but this was not it. I thought
he's in a completely different movie.
He is.
He's in a completely different movie than the rest of the cast. Even LaBeouf. Because everybody else in the movie, and as you pointed out, even LaBeouf, seems more authentic than the lead, right? He's the guy that we're supposed to follow, and I don't care. He doesn't engage me. Everything about him is the same thing that you have in any of these movies. He's a family guy. They do the praying thing. They even have the quince for the one daughter. I mean, like, they hit all of that stuff.
Of course they did. Yeah.
Right. Of course they did, right? You even have T.O. George bringing in a fat stack of cash for it. Here you go, baby.
I'm sorry. The moment that happened, I was like, really? Like, couldn't give her a check or money order, like, just giant
envelope.
I think
that's just a gangster movie stereotype in general, though.
But to have that much money on you, I'm like, come on now. Like, L.A., especially, where it seems like they're living not the most safe area, you're just gonna walk around with that much. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's fine, because there's so many things you're like, wait, Oh, and I mean, they're just like, every time you turn around, there's something else in this.
And it, I would feel weird making this movie.
Yeah.
For that reason, because I'd constantly be turning around to people, be like, wait, can I do this in this movie? Can I actually have this? Like, it felt weird to watch, right? And after a while, I'm just like, all of this feels weird. It doesn't feel real. And I know that when you've got guys like characters like LaBeouf's character is this dude Creeper, those guys in movies, they're always the goal is this cool tough guy, right? But they're always absurd, and you just have to be okay with that, right? And he's actually, I mean, authentic or not, Mexican or not, he's actually one of the more interesting things to watch in this movie. For somebody who has like three expressions and stands around at David's shoulder most of the time, he feels more like a developed character than most of the characters do. And frankly, LaBeouf and Conejo are the guys that save this movie at all for me.
Yeah.
Because they're fun to watch, even if it's not great. Like, yeah, okay, the Santeria thing, it's over the top, whatever. But it looks cool, and why the hell not? I'm already here.
Yeah, that body paint was something that I hadn't seen before. I thought that did at least look interesting. I want to note something that I know Brad, I think, wants to touch on too. I didn't see the trailer for this, but every other marketing that I did see for this really made it seem like this is Shia LaBeouf's film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No spoilers, but it is not. If you're going into this movie thinking, I'm gonna be seeing Shia LaBeouf in a maybe like a Ryan Gosling type Drive type role, this is not that movie, and you're gonna be disappointed if you're going in for that. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be Shia LaBeouf in Man on Fire or something like that. But what the movie actually is fucking sucks. So it's it is misleading. It's incredibly misleading.
So I will say the one character. So I know you guys are saying that the main villain was Conejo. I thought Gada was awesome too. She was cool as hell.
She should be in John Wick.
Thank you. I was about to say she's Ruby Rose in the second John Wick film. I thought she was the one character that probably had the most screen presence. I mean, she doesn't have a lot to say, but she has this swagger about her. I went, okay. And I've never seen her before. And if you're listening, I'll buy you a drink or tequila, whatever. She's not unattractive, but she was one of the few characters I actually went, oh, you're kind of getting my attention. The problem is with something like even like End of Watch or something like Training Day, the characters aren't one note. There are definitely shades to these characters, and the movie has this lame ass attempt at trying to give David some layers where he's in bed with his wife Alexis, and you know he's like, oh, why did you want to be with me? Just by the way, randomly in the middle of the fucking movie, so you get that whole exposition piece of my dad was a drunk and da 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 da, and I'm sitting there,
because you have money, that's why.
I mean, and I'm really
you're a way out.
Yeah, I mean,
let's be honest.
It's more heartwarming. It's played as heartwarming, but yeah.
But I was sitting there, I'm like, man, I should be feeling something here, and I'm feeling Jack, and it just made me go, you two don't. So the thing about David that is most infuriating is that there's multiple times he goes like, family's everything, and I'm like, you clearly don't care about yours, because I highly doubt that in your line of work, this is the first time you've been threatened by someone. So you would think you would have a contingency plan of, oh, if shit goes wrong, let's do A, B, and C. And he is so unprepared for this shit. I was like, wow, you're a horrible fucking gangster. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
I'll give the movie a tiny little point. The moment that David realizes that he fucked up, it is actually a pretty good scene, and the expression on his face is hilarious. Like, you can tell he knows
it shouldn't be.
Oh, I shit the bed.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but at the same time, there's a point that he goes to a school, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, you couldn't wipe your face of the blood or like any, like, no. If you're a teacher, you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing here covering in blood?
Yeah, and but if you're being tracked, you're kind of leading your prey, or I'm sorry, the predators to your offspring, man. Day one stuff.
Like, he really is a bad gangster. Like, he's a really bad gangster. And it just kind of, like, he's basically the Mr. How do you say Magoo in Spanish? Of gangsters. Like, he's so...
Señor Magoo.
Thank you. Magoo? It's really irritating. And characters make such dumb decisions at multiple points in this. I will give the movie this. I was surprised by George Lopez. Like, I was like, oh, he's actually... Yeah. Acting, you know, because I'll be the first to admit I can't stand George Lopez. I usually think he just sucks in everything. Like his sitcom especially, I'm just like, God, this guy isn't funny. I cannot stand George Lopez. I was so happy his talk show got canceled, but he was actually good in this. I was like, okay, like you're actually bringing it. But
were you all kind of surprised how hard he got? Like. He seemed like a real gangster for that.
He actually did. Yeah. I was like, okay. But he's one of the few people that feels like he's trying. And I think it was Adrian who talked about Bobby Soto. And look, I understand that you can only make some of this dialogue, which we're saying this is Adrian's worst film. This might be the worst written film he's put together because the dialogue in here is just dog shit. Like, it's like someone had an outline for American Gangster, and then he's like, oh, I can fill in the blanks, and clearly you can, and God help us, if this is a glimpse of what the air cut is, then holy shit, we are in the darkest timeline for sure, if this is what his shit's going to be like moving forward. But this was just honestly hard to get through at points, and not because, like, he couldn't even film the violence in a way that I was like, oh, I can tell what's happening. There's so many quick cuts, and David Ayer does that thing he loves to do because he thinks he's so artsy, where he has a shot out of focus and it slowly goes ahead and comes into focus, and he does it like 10 times, and I was like, oh my god, dude. It's like Zack Snyder, if his slow-mo would be like, all right, dude, like, cut that trick out a little bit. Like, yeah, it's a lot, and especially in like the last fight scene or what have you, the people involved apparently are stormtroopers, because for being gangsters they are horrible shots. And
well, if anything, I think that's accurate.
Yeah, that's a nitpick.
No,
killers are bad shots.
Look, Bradley, I know in Canada that they don't have guns, but here in America we do. And they could not, they weren't even getting close to each other. I was like, okay, like
although I will notice, this is one of those things in the movie where LaBeouf's character actually backs up what he says.
Yeah,
because he's got a handgun and he's picking these guys off, you know, and they're spraying stuff everywhere and can't hit shit.
That I mean, that's true. And I will say that there is one scene in this movie I genuinely like, and it's where Creeper and David are doing their whole tax collecting, which I hate that term.
Oh, but the training day sequence.
Yeah, but I love the scene where they go
in the car
and rough up that guy whose daughter has leukemia. That was one of the few scenes.
Yeah. That
was one of the few scenes I went, oh, okay. And then right after that scene, the movie goes right all over again. I was like, that's what I get for expecting something from you. But
you got a moment of character and got all excited for just a second.
I honestly did. I went, oh, here's the turning point. And no.
Well, we got to get into our final thoughts here. Luann, I'm going to give you the mic. Drop some knowledge on us with this final thought.
I don't want to completely shit on this movie. Anyway, there were a few good gore effects in the last third. So that was cool. And I know that Hunter has some issues with the action shooting, and I get that. But I think overall, Salvatore Totino, the director of photography, made it look pretty good considering you know, the movie itself. I don't know. When the bad guys and Shia LaBeouf are the best thing to look at in your movie, I don't know, man. Your movie's maybe not doing what you think it is. The characters most of the time didn't feel very genuine to anything. I mean, not even whether they were stereotype or not. They just didn't feel like they behaved like genuine people most of the time. Like Hunter was talking about, you have an occasional scene where like, oh, here's a character moment. Oh, and now everybody's just going to do stupid things. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was occasionally moments of chemistry between, was it Bobby Soto and Shia LaBeouf. I mean, if I wasn't as hung up on his, I don't know if it was really like brown face, because I actually looked and there were several pieces about this where they're like, no, he's supposed to be like a white kid that grew up in the neighborhood. I'm like, okay, whatever. Still doesn't mean he has to sound like that, but overall it just felt like a mess. Like every time something would happen that I was like, oh, okay, that was cool. And now we're going to do a bunch of stupid stuff. And in the end, I don't know why I was following this guy, David. I'm not going to quit on that name either. That's what you went with. I don't know, man. At the end of the day, it's like 1 out of 5 of the guns that Creeper claims he's carrying.
Very good. Oof, harsh. Adrian, your final thoughts, please.
This movie needed 4 words written by Joe Carnahan. I think David Ayer used to be the king of the movie that's kind of gritty and kind of cool. Maybe not the best, but there's just something really charming about it. And I no longer feel that way. Ever since Bright, ever since Sabotage, which I like the ending of. It's very hard to find anything redeeming of this movie. And unfortunately, there really is no one to blame other than David Ayer. He directed and wrote this movie. I don't even want to be that harsh on Bobby Soto because he has to act out this horrendous dialogue. Yeah, this was completely disappointing. I don't even really know what I could recommend about this movie. There's really nothing. I like Shia LaBeouf. I don't think he's doing brownface. They leave it ambiguous by just making his name Creeper, which is kind of an out. I thought the actresses in this movie were actually pretty good, and I, you know, props to you guys for putting Mexican women in a Hollywood movie. I think that's kind of cool too. I just wish it was a good one. This sucked. This is definitely David Ayer's worst film, and it's extremely disappointing because it had everything that you needed to make a really good movie, and this just completely dropped the fucking ball. I give this 1 go see El Chicano instead out of 5.
Oof. Again, Hunter, raving about this film in your thoughts earlier. What more do you have to say?
I was just sad watching this. I was just like, God damn it. I'm like, be better. Like Adrian, I get what you're saying about having, you know, like Mexican women in this, but at the same time, I'd say the same thing about black women in Tyler Perry movie. Like, it's great you got work, but is this really what you want to be associated with? This, like, everyone in this deserves better. It's really frustrating. And Adrian, oh, this is going to be weird to say. For once, I agree with you. We have no one to blame but
David. Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. All the listeners just passed out.
And it wouldn't be the last.
Yeah, this is all on David Ayer. This is all on him. And again, God help us. If the Ayer cut is in this vein, then oh my God, I might have to jump off a bridge. It's really frustrating because it also sets up for a sequel, which I'm like, for the love of God, don't you dare. I'm like, no sequel. And where this movie ends up, kind of, so I was probably around like maybe a 4 out of 10 on this. And then this ending from this character in a phone call, I went, oh, fuck that. I went, nope. All right, well, you just cut your score in half. So I'm giving this 2 out of 10 hilarious removals of skin from pavement out of, yeah.
Very nice. Well, I probably like this the most out of all of us. Unfortunately, that's not a very high review either. I find David Ayer chaotic. I think it's interesting that he has men of violence, harsh violence, praise the Lord, and say they love their family. I think, ooh, the History of Violence is one of my favorite films. Maybe there's something to this. There isn't. David just says that stuff so we'll sympathize for him. And it never works for me. There has to be something more. There has to be self-reflection of what your life choices are doing to you. And this film, for some reason, is completely devoid of that. Even though Training Day, that's pretty much all that film is about, whether it be your career choices, how you want to help people, why you want to help people, and do you have to be a monster to help people? But again, it is about criminals. I just kind of feel like, shit, David Ayer, maybe lay off the family murderers and drug paraphernalia films with Jesus as a centerpiece. It's strange to me. The character from Suicide Squad was very much this El film Diablo. Brought to life. Yeah, like very strange. I loved my family. What happened to them? I murdered them. Like, what the shit? Whoopsie. We're supposed to sympathize with you? Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to give this 4 back piece tattoos. Out of 10 rumors that those tattoos are real and for life.
Yeah, that's...
Fuck a tattoo. I like to believe that Shia LaBeouf is still doing the voice right now.
I will give the movie one thing. They didn't... Because I was really expecting David Ayer, because he's a dick, to call him like David or something like that. Or something David, like that. Yeah. But... he didn't do that, so, I mean,
point. But, like, literally everybody in this movie has another name.
Yeah.
Right? You have Creeper, you have Conejo, you have Gato. Even George Lopez's character is just Tio, is just the uncle. I mean, you know, even his dad is the wizard. Like, but you're just David?
The wizard.
Were they trying to keep you out? Because that's not... They can't keep you out if you're the one running around collecting everybody's money.
So I was kind of hoping that an out for this movie would have been if Uncle Lewis was related to, was it Uncle Tito from Spy Kids? And it was just a dark take on Spy Kids.
Like extended universe. Let's start the rumor now. You heard it here first. One of us.
Right. There you go.